Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Thank you, Lori. You're right on time. She is good. She tells me before service at what time, how long it will last, and she's there to the second. Very good. We appreciate her gift of music with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
For those on radio, for us here at Our Savior, God's greeting on a sunny morning. Once again, this is good. If we only had the heat to accommodate it. For those on radio WPHM or picking us up by podcast, we're glad you're listening to us and being part of our extended congregation. As we gather here this day, we are in the season of Epiphany. Right now we're still white because last week was Epiphany, white, and this Sunday is white. Theme is the baptism of our Lord Jesus. Baptism of our Lord Jesus. So if you saw as you came in the door, there's a mini banner there. It says baptized into Christ. The baptism of our Lord Jesus reminds us of our own baptism and our connection to God through not only water, but water and His Spirit. We also will be installing during the worship time our leaders of the church elected back in November, and that'll take place after the offering. We're also going to have a temple talk that'll take place after the first reading. And at the second service, we'll have children's church as well. One of the changes for those on the radio and for our congregation who listens to the service at 8:30, choir handbells is at 9:30 on Sundays. Vocal choir is at 10 a.m. on Sundays, so that both can be done on the same day with that coming out at night, okay? If that makes it more convenient, the angels in heaven jump for joy because it'll build up our music program, and that's what we want to do. So Jennifer will be with us to provide that direction. There are several announcements that I'm going to present to you, one of which is one of our worshiping fellowship of this congregation, Barry DeKalb. He passed away a weekend ago. He was picking mushrooms, his son was telling me, on Saturday with a friend. The next day he had a massive coronary. They could not revive him at Port Huron Hospital. He went down to Henry Ford, he never regained consciousness. And they declared him dead, brain dead. So we're sorry to see his passing. He was with us Christmas Eve. No apparent health problems. Obviously something internal. Funeral visitation starts today, 2 to 5 p.m., Pollock Randall. Funeral will be at Pollock Randall at 11 o'clock. And then we'll come back for a meal here at the church, which the family and congregation will be co-oping together. So that's tomorrow. Funerals at 11 a.m. at Pollock Randall. Visitation today from 2 to 5 at Pollock Randall. Okay. See, just a few more notes and I'll bombard them later on. We'll do the calendar this week later on. So we're here to worship, so darn it, let's do it. Page one of your bulletin, let us begin with confession of sin. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates us, who forms us, who redeems us, who calls us, who unites us and then sends us. Amen. Gathered into God's presence, let us confess our sin. Almighty and loving God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We seek our own way. We divide the body of Christ. In your mercy, cleanse us and heal us. Let the words of our mouths and the thoughts of our hearts and everything we do be filled with faith, hope, and love. Amen. Hear the voice of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim release to the captives. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you, your sins are forgiven. You are released. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours forever. Amen. We sing our entrance hymn, God is here.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our hymn of praise for this day is "To God Be the Glory." If you'll reference the insert, not the printed page, we were minus a line. So if you'll reference your insert page. Lord be with you. And if you'll join me in the prayer of the day there on page 6. Let us pray. Almighty God, you anointed Jesus at his baptism with the Holy Spirit and revealed him as your beloved Son. Keep all who are born of water and the Spirit faithful in your service, that we may rejoice to be called children of God. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We have the reading of God's Word this day. Tony is our first lector, bringing us the Word.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Near the end of Israel's exile in Babylon, God promises to bring them home. They need no longer be afraid because the one who formed, created, and called them by name now redeems them from all of their enemies. God declares them precious and honored, and God loves them. The first reading comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. And now the reading begins. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west, and I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by name, whom I've created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. We have a special temple talk by Kathy Cole, per request of the church council.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to take this opportunity to give a huge thank you to all of you here today, and for all of those listening to our radio broadcast for helping us on our catch-up campaign. We began this campaign in mid-October of 2018, and in 3 months, we were able to raise $20,919. This was the step we needed to balance our budget and start 2019 off on the right track. We are so grateful that we can continue the Lord's work in 2019. Speaking of the Lord's work, I want to remind you that not only did you help us raise over $20,000 for the budget, but in 2018, you also contributed to many different organizations outside the walls of Our Savior Lutheran Church. These included the Mid-City Nutrition, the Food Bank, Habitat for Humanity, the NET Program, Operation Transformation, Blue Water Coalition Against Hunger, Rise Up Campaign for ELCA, the Southeast Michigan Synod, the ARC Project, ELCA World Hunger, ELCA Missions Program, and two Christmas families through the Salvation Army. All these programs that we support throughout the year total over $15,000. When we all work together, look at the impact we can make on our community and God's people. We are but one small church in a community and nation of many churches who continue to make a difference in the lives of God's people. I know you are all humble people, but just take a moment and be proud of each and every donation, every dollar, and especially every hour you spend as a volunteer. It is an amazing gift you give to others who are in need. Our catch-up campaign ends today. As we begin 2019, we all need to be vigilant on our weekly offering goal of $3,800. If we can maintain our weekly goal, we will continue the Lord's work. As Pastor Don reminded us last week, next month we celebrate our 99th year as a congregation. Let's keep our journey going to reach our 100th anniversary in 2020. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Kathy. I think you need to remember also that the Catch Up campaign was not just general offering. This was above general offerings. And the $15,000 that went to missions, local and Senate, was above the operating budget. So these were definitely signs of life and mission among God's people here at Our Savior. Second reading by Judy Evers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Second reading comes from Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Peter and John are sent to support the new Christians in Samaria, a group that was recently baptized after hearing the good news of Christ through the preaching of Philip. Here the Samaritans receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the laying on of hands. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Judy. If you're able to stand, participate in the gospel acclamation.
Together we speak. Alleluia. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Alleluia. The gospel text for the day is from Luke, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. And so, as the people were filled with expectation, all were questioning in their hearts whether he might be the Messiah. John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat in his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized by John, and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened up. And the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Christ. Please be seated. We welcome those on radio or by later podcast to Our Savior's service on this January 13th. You can follow the scripture passages in an outline form inside back cover if you choose to. You can walk through the Word of God with me as I take you through the three readings. The theme I suggest to you is, it's more than a name. It's a child of God, called and chosen. Let me say that again, because every time we do a baptism in a public gathering, every time the church worldwide does a baptism, when our Lord himself was baptized, it's not just a name, he's a Christian, or he was baptized. We are a child of God. We've been called. We have been chosen by God himself. So, as we start going through the scriptures, direct your attention, if you would, to page 6, Isaiah. For those of you who track, if you kept a scorecard, since
Advent till now? How many times has Isaiah, it's been an Old Testament reading, it's been about 7 or 8 times. Primary source. Feeds right into the New Testament community of faith and belief in Jesus Christ. In the passage before us this day, Isaiah 43, the Lord is speaking through his prophet to his people, Israel. He wants it perfectly clear that they have taken a hard turn. They had disobeyed God. They have experienced the dark side of God. Now it's time God was going to bring his bright side into their lives. So he says to them, don't be afraid. You have already been redeemed. I dare say if you were to ask anybody walking the streets of the northern or the southern kingdom of Israel, do you feel better? I think the survey would have come back, no. We're waiting. But God had already done the redemption, the reclaiming, and the change is breaking in. I have called you, the Lord says, I've called you by name. You are mine. I don't know if when you wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror and you say, I am a child of God. Many have been with me the 25 years I've been here. I say the most important title anybody can give to another person at the end of life's journey, at the time of graduation into the kingdom, is to be called a child of God. It's not how many figures are in your assets, your portfolio when you die. It's not where you lived or how you were educated or what your family status is. It's none of that stuff that earthlings places value in this world. There's one title. And only God can give it up. And God has. You are my child. The world wars against that. The world would like to assault us and lead us away from that conscious reality. We are God's, and God has given us that title. It's nothing I can do. I didn't acquire it. But it's God who gives us the worth and the value as the people of God. He goes on to say, when you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. When you go through the rivers, they're not going to overcome you. When you walk through fire, you're not going to be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Please do not take that literal. You know, there's some crackpots out there who don't know how to read God's word. Each portion of God's word has to be looked in its style, whether or not it's metaphor. And this obviously kind of like the passage that some of those snake handlers in Kentucky some years ago, handling snakes, that you can handle snakes and they shall not bite you. Oh, give me a break. We're human and we're as prone to being bitten by a cat, a dog, scratched by anything, and injured. But what it is saying is that you can go through danger. You can go through fear. You can go through all the things of life, and believe me, life hits us with everything. Most people, when we hit that time in life, it's called mid-course correction. We used to call it midlife crisis. That doesn't sound nice. Mid-course correction. When we reach a point in our life, kind of like the song goes, "Morning cry, I'm no longer too old, nor am I too young." What a way to define that. When we hit that point and look back over life, we start, if you really want to count the scars, those are things that have influenced us, shaped us, made us the people we're going to be for the rest of our journey. And we can either let it turn us sour or negative towards God and towards people. Or we ask with God's help and forgiveness, we can overcome whatever scarring has taken place. In the context of all of that, he protects us. I am the Lord your God. It's not questionable. Do you think I am? It's not You know, if you do this, this, and this by perfect obedience, you are my child. It's not that. It's a declaration from the Lord God to you and each individual believer in Jesus Christ. Understand God's grace, God's mercy and peace is for all peoples. And it's God who wants to tie this humanity into something that makes sense. When most of the time we look crazy. And when you stand before me, the Lord says, through the prophet, you are precious in my sight. You're not just one of a pack. I don't know if you had a favorite grandparent or a parent that might have said, you're precious, dear. You may, I never had anybody do that, but I know some family systems, they call children precious. Oh, isn't that baby precious? Well, God thinks you're precious. God thinks I'm precious. God thinks everybody around us, and even sometimes the ones you hate, God thinks are precious in his sight. Everybody has worth and value. We're a unique, unrepeatable miracle of God, and God loves us. If you take, in a sloppy fashion, the word justification, it is just as if we had not sinned. God accepts us with our preconditions. You and I put preconditions on everybody. But God's heart is so big, God welcomes us to his family and to his table. Go to the second reading, Book of Acts. It's an episode probably very few would say that's a key passage. That's the reason why the pericopes have three lessons every Sunday, so that we hear the whole countenance of God, God's word. Otherwise, you would have missed it. Okay? It's not high on the popularity list. The disciples are walking around. They see some people who are believers, it seems like. They were God worshipers, probably followers of this man called Jesus. And when the disciples come up to this group of people, just kind of random people, they ask them, have you been baptized? And they said, well, yeah, but it's only been with water. Suggesting what? They're lacking the Spirit. So the disciples quickly say, well, let us give you what will complete your act of faith. Let us baptize you again, but with water and the Spirit. Now, I've had to defend this passage and the way we do baptisms among many faith communities. Let me take the biggest one, the Pentecostals. There are ones who would suggest, see, Pastor, you Lutherans shouldn't be saying that all you need is the baptism as a child. I come back and say, ah, but you're dealing with adults here. But the scriptures say baptism is only of water. No, it doesn't. It says you got to be baptized with water and Spirit. Go to John's statement of faith and his ministry. You must be born of water and Spirit. When he gives a witness to himself, John says, look, I baptize you with water. I am not the Messiah. John's baptism was the old age, even though it's in the New Testament. You got to get it. The new covenant, the New Testament, is being baptized, born in water and Holy Spirit. If you recall Jesus, when he was asked to explain what John was about, his cousin, he says, he who is least in the kingdom of God is still least above those in the new covenant. John was a good man. He did things he was told to do, but he was the old age. The new age has come through the Messiah, who John said will baptize in the name of water and Spirit. So in the context of everything, the disciples Peter and John lay hands. You know, we do that in the sacrament of baptism. I know I always have to do Christian apologetics because I have to explain to people, why is the pastor touching this child? Why is this pastor putting his hands on this adult? It's as old as the book of Acts. Why was the laying on of hands? It's the conferral of the Holy Spirit that was lacking in these people. There's something conducive, probably similar to like electricity. It's got to be connected in series or parallel, if you understand that language. The laying on of hands is the conferral of the Holy Spirit through the people of God, through the church, to the baptized. Well, can I just be baptized with water? You have to ask the Lord. I just know what the scriptures say. It's water in the Spirit and the laying on of hands. If you listen to the Pentecostal side of the family, they would say, we Lutherans don't do it completely because there's the baptism of the water, sacrament one, and baptism of the Holy Spirit, sacrament two, and when you get the gift of tongues, you have this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I gag every time I hear that, because that's not the teaching of the apostles. It's not the procedure of the early church. And these individuals didn't go off speaking in tongues. Let the witness be the word of God, not human leaders centuries later, injection of their particular theology or bent over the word of God. So understand that. The water and the Spirit come together, and the laying on of hands probably isn't necessary, but it certainly was ordained to be done in the conferral of the baptism. You go to the gospel lesson. As the people were filled with great expectation, yes. Many of those who are historians said that this first century was really turmoil. If you and I lived there, we would have seen many people saying they were the Messiah. They were the child of God, the Son of God. They were going to deliver Israel out of their bondage to Rome. And then comes this itinerant preacher by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He doesn't make a big splash. And he doesn't get too big a crowds until he starts performing and showing them the power of God breaking before their eyes. Those will be the future lessons for the next several weeks. He reveals, manifests himself, the epiphany of the Messiah. But in the context of the text before us is where John denies the claims he's the Messiah. But rather the one who comes after him is bringing the judgment. Now, John, if you and I were in the crowd out there in the wilderness by the River Jordan, we would have said, he's a kook. Why? Well, as you know, he ate grasshoppers and honey. That's not a diet I would want to chew on. I don't know about you. It wasn't a special weight loss diet. It was a symbolic diet of austerity and lack of materialism, and living in a spirit way, not in a material way. But that wasn't his message, it was his example. And as he went among the people, he said, I baptize you. Well, prior to this, we have no historical records, though some suggestions are there was a ritual in Judaism of taking Gentiles who wanted to be Jews and would give them a bath. But it wasn't a baptism. This now is baptism. And again, you have to separate the two. I try to do this for people. The baptism of John is not the baptism of Jesus. They're occurring almost simultaneously, but only one endured, and that was the baptism of Jesus. Because he was the chosen one. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world, just as John affirmed. If you go to the Gospel of John, first chapter, as John's doing his work in baptism, He points to his disciples. He says, there goes the servant of God. There goes the Lamb of God. Go follow him. Now, if he conceived on some ego trip, he's the man and Jesus is an underling, it's not recorded anywhere historically. He even made it perfectly clear. I must decline, decrease, so that Jesus may increase. He's the man on center stage. When John will be assassinated or killed by Herod for speaking out of turn and speaking truth, then Jesus is solely on the stage for the world to see. This God of ours has built into the contract with eternity and his people a covenant. It says, when you look in the mirror, I am a child of God. I'm not junk. I'm not a failure. I am a chosen child of God. God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness sustains me every day of my life. And I goof up, you goof up, we all goof up our own ways. But God's grace is bigger than any of our goof ups. May the God of grace, who named you, claimed you, and made you his child, sustain you all the days of your life. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. And we sing our hymn of the day, Christ, when for us you were baptized. Service continue with prayers. Please rise, page 11.
United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for the church. Pour out your spirit upon us and enliven us for mission. Draw us together in love that we may be one. Lead us out in the way of your beloved Son. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For the earth, sustain oceans and seas, rivers and lakes, marshes and wetlands. Watch over dormant plants and hibernating animals as they rest in your care. Renew your creation and protect all creatures from harm. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For the nations, inspire leaders to work for the common good. Grant courage to those who put themselves at risk to protect others. Turn us away from violence and teach us to live in peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For those in need, protect children and vulnerable adults who depend on others to provide for their daily care. Uphold those who struggle with depression. Console the grieving and heal the sick, especially Iris Cook, Elvira and Joe Polthart, Rhonda Crosby, Susan Phillips, Donald Seltzer, Don Juski, Jill Harper, Sharon DeSantis, Bob Shirky, Sharon Cunningham, Jeff Parker, Larry, husband of Judy. And Lord, be with those serving our nation, Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, Paul DeJean, Jaron Soulier, and Rob Nolan. Lord, in your mercy. For this assembly, bless the newly baptized. Renew your children in the covenant of baptism. Empower us by your loving spirit to serve our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died, especially the family of Barry DeHold Jr. and the family of Emily Knox. Hold us safe in your arms of mercy and bring us with them into your promise of life eternal. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer.
And receive our prayers. Fill us with your radiance of your love through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And when we sing this day, the Lord's Prayer at the bottom of the page. Be seated. We receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's Church. Now it's time to give you the full load. I'll give you a little bit of the load at the beginning of the service. This week, Monday, after the memorial service, funeral service for Mary, we have an evening class. We started last week. We closed out that last unit. We are ready to take the next one. And my book disappeared. Did you get it? Okay. Here we go. It's underneath my paper. This was suggested by the members. We always choose classes that people want to study. A theme, a book, a Bible scripture. So David Limbaugh has done a wonderful book called Jesus is Risen. It's about Paul and the early Christians. So this is, I've gotten into the second chapter. It's really good. Jesus is Risen is the theme. We start at 6:30 tomorrow night. I have copies of the books for the study. Tuesday, no administrative meetings. On Wednesday, we have a Bible study. We thank those who undecorated the church. It usually doesn't get recognized, but that's a necessary task. So thank you for doing that, in case you wonder where the tree went. Then on Wednesday, we have a Bible study at 10:30 in the morning. We're doing the Book of Romans. So if you want to get into Pauline theology and the writings of the New Testament, the book of Romans, 10:30. In the afternoon, the Old Town churches of downtown here, we meet at St. John United Church of Christ at 3 o'clock. At 6:30 Wednesday night, we have catechism for the youth. We're studying the Ten Commandments. So Wednesday night at 6:30, the commandments. Thursday morning, nothing on the church's calendar. We do have on Saturdays, the community group of Vision Quest, a narcotic rehab group. So we encourage that in our community. We come back on Sunday to remind you that there is choirs and handbells on Sunday morning, so on that Sunday as well. So many things in your bulletin. I'm not going over it because I'm going to read you who we're installing today between this service and next service. That takes a long time. So our president is Anna Morrison. She'll be at second service. Our vice president is Faith Dorsbacher. She'll be at second service. Donna Taylor is here. So come on up, Donna. Doug Cole is here as treasurer. We have Marcia, who is not able to be here this morning, as she usually is. Deacons. Doug Abbott comes at second service. Hope Dorsbacher will be here at second service. Dan Mack, Nathan Mack, and Brandon Mack usually are here at late service. Linda Solier is at late service as deacons. Jane is here. Jane, if you'll come forward. Debbie Colley usually comes at late service. Wally Deesing comes at late service. Joyce DeJohn is standing up just waiting to be called forward. She likes to be in the public eye. Brad DeTerry, Denver DeTerry, they come to the second service. Jean Downing comes to the second service. And finally, all the way from Texas, we have Scott Pike. He's been out of town. Brandon Mack, as I said, Dan Solier, second service. Then alternates are Elizabeth Kilborn, Kay Price. And we have Don Martin, second service, Katie Quater. We have Ken Perry, second service. And then trustees. Now, for those listening to us, you're going to say you actually have that many on your council? My gosh, how many is that? Well, it runs around 50. So we have trustees, Doug Cole, Bill Price, Terry Ruff. Terry's in Florida, he left last week. Bill's still here. Jim Borntrager. Jim Catato is not in church today. Bill Croner will be at second service. Gary Oswald, come on down. Tim Quater, come on down. Gene Downing, second service. Fred Morrison, second service. Ken Perry, second service. Andy Silver, second service. Senate delegates will be Scott Pike. He's tall enough, there are two of them. Toni Gaines, she's our female delegate. Education, Cheryl Dorsbacher, second service. Anna Morrison, second service. Judy Quater, come on down. Kathy Cole, she's the one that gave us the beautiful ketchup bottles. Helen D. Terry, second service. Faith, second service. Elizabeth Kilborn, second service. Evangelism Committee, Amanda Beck, second service. Mary Patterson, second service. Toni Gaines, here, but she's wear a second hat, Tony. Kay Price, second hat. Nominating for next year, Terry Catato, Helen D. Terry, Cheryl Deesing, and Judy Quater. Okay, see why I didn't give you any more information. So I'm going to face you. You face the congregation. This is good. You have been elected by this body of believers here at Our Savior to be leaders, guiders in our path to do our ministry faithfully in Jesus Christ's name. In holy baptism, as we said in the sermon and through the scriptures of this day, our Lord Jesus liberated you from sin, death, and he made you members of his church. Through the word, through the sacrament, you have been nurtured in faith. So I ask you together with all who have been gathered to confess the faith of this church, the faith in which we baptize. I'll make it short.
Do you believe in God the Father? If so, yes. Answer, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? If so, answer, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
And if you believe in the Holy Spirit, answer, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
The Apostle Paul writes that there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it's the same Spirit that's given to us. There are different ways of serving, but it's the same Lord who's being served. There are different abilities to perform service, but it's the same God who gives everyone the ability for that particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. You've been elected to positions of leadership and trust in the congregation. So I ask you to fulfill, to be diligent in your specific area of serving, that the one Lord who empowers you can be glorified in what you do. You're to be examples of faith that is active in love to help maintain the life and the harmony of this congregation. So on behalf of your sisters, your brothers in Christ, I ask you, are you ready to accept and faithfully to carry out these duties of offices to which you've been elected? If so, answer yes, with the help of God.
Yes, yes, with the help of God.
Okay, let us pray. Gracious God, Lord of our lives, you who keep us, protect us, and call us to be your children and also to be your church sent into this world. Guard and keep all of us and our leaders, Lord, in your tender care, keeping us faithful in our life's journey and in the journey of our Savior. For the sake of our Lord Jesus the Christ, we pray.
Amen.
And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I'd take time to shake, but we're on radio. You know how it is. Lori was asking me before service, is he going to fill the full hour with that communion? Lori, I told you I could fill anything. We sing the offertory hymn, only verses 1, 3, and 4. Please rise as the offering is presented. 1, 3, 4.
Thank you.
God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. It begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.